host, Sierra, and I'm back with another episode of Haunting True Crime Podcast. And before we get into it, I want to just say that I'm really thankful for everybody that actually listens to my podcast. And I do actually have social media. My Instagram is at Haunting True Crime Podcast. My Facebook is at Haunting True Crime. And my Gmail is hauntingtruecrimepodcast@gmail.com. So if you want to reach out and say something to me, those are all of my platforms. I'm working on Twitter. I'm not a big fan of Twitter, so don't get your hopes up. But in today's episode, I'm going to talk about something a little closer to home, and it's about the Lost Boys of Hannibal. And the Lost Boys of Hannibal, it was a really big thing at the time, but then people just quit talking about it because Hannibal is the boyhood home of Mark Twain. So Hannibal is consumed with Mark Twain everything. There's two different museums. There's the lighthouse that at the base of the steps, it has a statue of Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn. There's the Mark Twain caves. There's the Mark Twain riverboat cruises. There's all kinds of shit. It's everywhere. But to give you a little background on Missouri, Missouri's known as the cave state that has 7,300 caves or more. And that's according to the Missouri Department of Conservation. And it has the second most caves in the United States, with Tennessee being the first. So lots of caves here. It's basically the whole state is just on top of a bunch of caves. They're not connected. Like, that would be so cool, but they're not connected. Yes, like I said, Hannibal is the boyhood home of Mark Twain. That's where he based the novel, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. And I believe he also had a novel about Huckleberry Finn. Don't quote me. I never kept up on the Mark Twain bullshit. But on May 10th of 1967, 11-year-old Billy Hoag, 13-year-old Joel Hoag, or Joey Hoag, and 14-year-old Craig Dowell went out on an adventure to explore some caves. So there was supposed to be a fourth boy, and I think it was John Wingate, and he was supposed to have gone with the boys, but he was grounded, so he couldn't. And John Wingate went on to write a book about the whole experience of the Lost Boys and what it was like and all that good business. So the boys really idolized Huck Finn from the book The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. And they really wanted to go out and explore like Huck Finn and all this good business. And they were actually building a highway, Highway 79. And Highway 79 would connect the Hannibal area to the St. Louis area, and it actually lets out a mile or two from the Mid Rivers Mall. If anybody knows where that is in St. Louis, then there you go. But it connects to I-70, so there's that. They were using a road grader and it exposed an opening to Murphy's Cave, and the boys were last seen going towards the cave with a shovel. And there was a witness that said he saw one of the boys headed back towards the opening with a shovel, but didn't see him go in. But the day before all this happened, the boys' parents had told them, no, you can't go in those caves, it's dangerous, there could be cave-ins, and all this road equipment going overhead is causing these vibrations that are causing the cave-ins, and you could get trapped, and we're not going to let you go. Well, you know, 13-year-old boys, they don't listen to their parents. So they go in the cave, and when their parents can't find them, they all begin searching, and they don't have any luck, so they call in local cavers, like cave explorers, and law enforcement, and they just set out on a manhunt trying to find these boys. And after they had one full day with no result, they called in regional helpers. So, and they also called in local cave clubs. I guess the ideal time to find these boys was within 3 days. They didn't, spoiler alert. But they even called in an expert from Washington, D.C., and him and his crew came in and they explored the caves and they were trying to find the boys, and they didn't find them either. So they examined all the caves in the area. So there's obviously the Mark Twain Cave, which is the big attraction, and there's also Cameron Cave, which is also another big attraction, but the difference between Mark Twain and Cameron Cave is Mark Twain Cave has electricity and electric lights running through it, And Cameron Cave doesn't. You have to go through with a lantern. You have to have like a half mile hike just to get to the entrance. Like it's an experience. One that I have not had yet and don't know if I really care to experience a half mile hike just to go explore a cave. But anyway, they examined all of the road cut caves. So like all the caves that were explored by cutting through the bluffs to make the road, right? And they explored all the natural cave systems that weren't exposed. But anyway, back to the point. So when more people appeared, they formed lines and they walked in like different sections of the countryside. They're looking for clues. And they found a sock that didn't belong to any of the boys. And I guess they found a pool of blood and oxidized chemical fertilizer. So it was a big circus. And this is before, like, this is way before you could just hop on Google and get all your news in an instant. Like, this was 1967. They had, like, two TV channels and one radio station. And now, you know, we have, like, 17 that we can just pick up on our car radios. We're going down the road, you know? So, like, this was way back when. And so they ended up actually turning churches into cafeterias and aid stations for everybody that was looking for the boys so that they could stop in and they could get aid and, you know, all that good business. And then this was actually the largest cave search in the country, like, to this day. Like, this, no one has ever pulled together to search caves like they did for these boys. And I thought that was an interesting little tidbit. So there were a few false starts because there were people obviously, you know, spreading rumors and they were making educated guesses, but they apparently weren't making the right educated guesses. But they went over every single piece of those caves, you know, with a fine tooth comb, just trying to get everything out and find all the evidence they could, but they didn't find anything. So finally they were just like, okay, well, this isn't a rescue, this is a recovery. And they moved dirt and everything with steam shovels and to expose the cave-in areas where it had caved in, and they still didn't find anything. So then I guess there were some psychics that had come in and they were just like, oh no, they're alive but very weak, you know, here, dig here. And no one really dug there because who's going to take the word of a psychic in 1967? So then also during this time, there was a dark mystery man. He, I guess, was up on the bluff where Lover's Leap is. And you can look up Lover's Leap. There's a big legend about it. And, you know, it's a whole nother story, basically. But it's called Lover's Leap. And it's basically just a big old cliff that has a fence around it so you can't jump off, even though people still try to. But it's a big bluff with, you know, a fence, and you can go out and you can see almost the entirety of Hannibal. And it's really pretty. Like, you can see the Rock Cliff Mansion, and you can see the lighthouse and all the, you know, Mark Twain attractions. You can see the riverboat go up and down the river. It's pretty cool up there. I mean, if you're ever in Hannibal, I suggest stopping by and looking if you're not from around here. But anyway, there's a mystery man up on the bluff on Lover's Leap, and they didn't know who it was, and he was seen there, I guess, multiple days in like the early morning time. But I guess he had been running around the ridge and moving things around, looking below, you know, no one knew who he was, no one had seen him, and then the mystery man had been planting false clues, and it wasted a whole bunch of time, but he had disappeared before anyone could find him. So still to this day, no one knows who this mystery man is or was or why he was there, but there are some theories, and we'll get to that because this is a conspiracy theory podcast. There are three possibilities that people pretty much agree on. The boys went into the cave and they were swallowed up due to disorientation or a cave-in. They ran away from home as a group, which is not likely because they loved their lives, their families, and there was no known problems with the families or anything like that. And three, they were kidnapped for nefarious purposes, which basically means they were kidnapped and murdered, but no one wanted to say that. they ended up putting a plaque on Lover's Leap, and it's to commemorate the lost boys. And it reads, on May 10th of 1967, three adventurous boys explored these hills in the footprints of Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer, only to never be seen again. Craig, Joey, and Billy will be remembered by rescue teams who came from coast to coast to solve the disappearance. These boys are dearly missed and loved by their families and friends, but will never be forgotten by all. This historical monument also reflects the love of the community and a nation who helped in the search. This historical monument also reflects the love of the community and a nation who helped in the search. So it's a really nice thing that they did. They made a little monument for the boys because they never found them. There's no clue where they were. But here recently, there's been another conspiracy theory on where the boys have gone or what happened to them. And John Wingate goes over this in his book, but I want to give you a rundown. So basically, he was approached by a psychic who said, you're never going to believe this, John Wayne Gacy killed the boys. That's right. John Wayne Gacy, the killer clown, killed these boys, is what she said. She said that she had visions of him, you know, basically sodomizing and raping and killing these boys. I was like, that's kind of messed up. But then there were two other psychics that came forward and said the exact same thing. And so John, he was like, okay, well, I'm going to test this out. And he takes them one at a time around town on different days, you know, so they can't just be like, oh, I saw you stop here. You know, he took one out and they all pointed out the same landmarks, the same, you know, everything. And they corroborated each story. They corroborated each other's stories perfectly. So I guess you could say like, hey, no, they met up and they talked to each other. And, you know, they figured this out and they probably like drove around and figured out what they were going to say, which is possible. So I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting story. Okay. So here's the thing. The reason why I thought this might actually be believable is because the boys would catch rides from strangers when they went into town, and the Hogue family didn't have a vehicle. So, you know, obviously if they wanted to go into town, they're going to try to hitch a ride with somebody. The police were researching the whereabouts of John Wayne Gacy and discovered that, you know, he had been in the area, supposedly on business. But then I've also seen other reports that he wasn't. But supposedly he was within 40 miles on business at the time the boys disappeared. But he was living and working in Waterloo, Iowa, which is about a 3-hour drive from Hannibal up north. But his mother was living in Little Rock, Arkansas. And John said that if Gacy were to go visit his mother, that driving from Waterloo to Little Rock, he would take Highway 61, which literally runs right through Hannibal. It becomes McMaster's Avenue. I think it's Avenue. It becomes McMaster's, which is the main street where all the restaurants and stuff are. And, you know, and then on the other side, it turns back into Highway 61. But yeah, it's right in the heart of Hannibal. And so, yeah, if he were to drive on Highway 61, he'd come right through Hannibal. Supposedly, he was in town for 2 days. And he'd been seen darting into the caves on May 8th and May 9th. And he was last seen watching the road construction on May 10th at about 5:15. So, I mean, now that I've given you this other information, it seems kind of possible that maybe it was John Wayne Gacy, because maybe he's like, oh, hey, Mom, I'm going to just take a vacation from work and I'm going to take a little jaunt on through, you know, this podunk town and come see you. And then maybe he's like, you know what, I'm going to kill a few boys on the way, because obviously John Wayne Gacy had a problem. Like, do you know how many boys he killed? Too many. But I think the actual number was like 20 or something. Something crazy. So it just, The theory is that he offered them a ride and they're like, oh yeah, sure, mister. And then he took them out to the woods and he did bad things to them, and then, I guess, buried them. Which is my personal theory. My personal theory is that they got kidnapped and probably raped and murdered. Definitely murdered, but I don't know about the rape part. But they were kidnapped and murdered, possibly raped, and buried out somewhere. Because they weren't really looking. They were looking more in the caves than anywhere else. So they weren't looking for graves. They were looking mainly in the caves. So I think it's possible that these boys were murdered. So, I don't know. Now that I finally gave you my social media information, you can finally reach out to me and tell me what you think. Or you can tell me your own personal theories or any research that you've done on the topic. Or even just to tell me that, you know, you think I'm wrong, because I could be. But anyway, sorry it's a short episode, but I'm trying to get something up for you. And I'll see you in the next episode. Love you guys. Bye.